God's love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. God's love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And on and on and on and on it goes. And on and on and on and on it goes. God's love never quits. It's a crazy love. And we're going to celebrate that crazy love of God tonight in word and in sacrament. There's a congregation located in Nebraska that has a long-standing tradition. This particular congregation, when they receive their offering in worship, immediately begins to clap. Clap your hands, all you people. Give praise and thanks to God. They are grateful because for them, offering is not a have to or a got to, it's a get to. It's an opportunity to acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from God and we're simply returning it back to the source, our Savior, our Lord. It's an opportunity to acknowledge and to confess publicly that Jesus Christ is God's best gift, that He offered His life for the forgiveness of our sins, and that in Him we find our redemption and reconciliation with the triune God. They clap, they applaud. It's kind of like when we receive our offering and we have that prayer, which says it all. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, our possession, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of Him who offered Himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because Jesus Christ is our Lord, and He offered Himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, in Him we find our great thanksgiving. A story was told to me about a church located next door to a supermarket that wasn't open on a Sunday morning. Now, this church was always struggling with having adequate parking. And so the leaders of the church went and talked to the owner of the supermarket and said, "We noticed that your parking lot is empty on a Sunday morning, and we don't have enough parking space. Would it be okay if we purchased some spots, if you will, and our members were able to park in your supermarket parking lot on a Sunday morning, seeing you're closed?" And the owner said, "It won't be necessary to pay me. You're welcome to use it when you have church events, and especially on Sunday mornings. However," he said, "you can only use it for 51 weeks out of the year." And the leaders of the church said, "Well, what happens during the other week?" He said, "During the other week, I'm going to put chains up, and I'm going to segment it all off so that nobody can get in and use it." And they thought this was strange. And then the owner of the supermarket said, "It's because I don't want you to forget who owns this parking lot and that you are invited guests. I don't want you to forget. You see, we are tenants all. All of us are tenants. Truth be told, there is nothing original in me or in you except for original sin. But everything we have is a trust, O Lord, from Thee, even the faith that we claim as our own. For everything is a gift from this crazy God who has a crazy love for you and for me. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on you. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on you. And on and on and on and on it goes. And on and on and on and on it goes. St. Paul writes, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Paul presses on because God in Christ Jesus our Lord presses on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus is what Edna Hong years ago called the downward ascent. For the path that leads to the upward call of God is the journey that descends and ends at the foot of the cross, on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave his entire life, God's only begotten Son. This is crazy love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus might not perish, but have eternal life. This is the crazy love of God. Philippians 2, the Christ hymn. Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, and humbling himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The crazy love of God for you. Crazy love, something that's crazy, it's something that doesn't make sense. It's something that defies common sense and human reason. You just can't explain it. It almost seems like foolishness. And yet, what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 1 about the cross? It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the wisdom and strength and power of God. For the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man. And the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. This crazy love of God for you. And we see it as a thread throughout Scripture. The kids in Saturday school have been looking at stories from Genesis 1 through 11. I mean, just trace in your mind this crazy love of God. He creates everything good. And only one rule. You cannot eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. The knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of it, you'll die. And then Adam and Eve do the crazy thing. Instead of listening to their source, their creator, they listen to the voice of a stranger, and they eat. And then they do the crazy thing of trying to blame each other and point the finger at God. And sin always has consequences. But God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me or you or Adam and Eve. They are clothed with animal skins. And God kicks them out of the garden and puts a protective force there so that they can't get back in, lest they continue to eat from the tree of life and live forever in sin. Such is the crazy love of God. When Cain kills his brother Abel and God confronts him, and even then, God mercifully puts a mark on his forehead so that he'll be protected as he wanders. The crazy love of God, when the whole earth is wicked and evil, and God grieves that he's created this world and sends a torrential flood. But God saves Noah and his family, a remnant of eight on an ark, and a pair of animals of all species, male and female. And then God puts a bow, his instrument of war, up in the heavens so that whenever God sees it, he will never curse the earth or destroy all the creatures. Never again. Because already in Genesis 3, God has said the day will come when Messiah will stomp on the head of the serpent and destroy sin and death forever. The prophecy will be fulfilled on a Good Friday cross. And then the story they looked at tonight about the Tower of Babel, where people all have one language and they decide that they really don't need God. And they're going to build this wonderful tower high up into the heavens. And if you look at that story in Genesis 11, God looks at what they're trying to build and he laughs. And he has to come down to see what they're so proud of, because they're trying to make a name for themselves. And God throws the people into confusion, all kinds of languages that will be restored on Pentecost Sunday through the gift of the Holy Spirit, when they're all able to hear the gospel, no matter what native tongue or language they come from. And God, in Genesis 12, calls and commissions an old man and an old woman, Abraham and Sarah, and says, in you, through you, through your seed, all people will be blessed, and I will give you a name. Paul says we receive that name when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we become children of Abraham and Sarah, heirs according to promise. The crazy love of God, where God would take a little bread and wine and say, this is the body and blood of my Son Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. The crazy love of God, where God would take ordinary tap water and put his word with that water and make a promise and say, this child is mine forever. Because God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on you or on me. The last two Saturdays and tonight, we've been looking at vineyard parables, stories from the Gospel of Matthew, and they all are about the vineyard. God has a crazy love for the vineyard. Isaiah 5, our first lesson for tonight. God has a crazy love for the vineyard and for the fruit, for the people that he creates and redeems, and in Christ sanctifies and glorifies. 2 weeks ago, a bumper crop, and the owner of the vineyard refuses that any of the grapes should spoil or rot on the vine. Goes out at 6 in the morning when the day is just starting, into the marketplace, and hires a bunch of people to work for him. Goes back at 9, goes back at noon, goes back at 3, and then an hour before quitting time, goes back again, and every time promises, because this is the word of God, I'll give you what's fair. I'll give you what's right. And at the end of the day, they all get grapes, because employment in the vineyard is a gift. It's not something we deserve or are entitled to. It's not work that we do to earn wages. It's a gift. And they all get the same grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. But there's always going to be some in the vineyard that are going to complain, or perhaps even act in a wicked, heinous way. They complain, and the owner says, is your eye evil because I'm good? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with that which belongs to me? And it all belongs to him. Take what is yours. I choose to give to the last as I gave to the first. Take what is yours and go! If you can't stomach grace, then you won't be able to live in my vineyard. That's just the way it is. You don't set the rules in God's vineyard. The master does. The one whose love never fails, never quits, never gives up on us. The last will be first, the first will be last. Just be thankful that you're numbered. That you're part of the number. And your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't begrudge God's generosity. Last week, the vineyard again. This time the father says to his sons, get out there and work. There's a harvest to be harvested. And you remember what happens, right? He's got two sons. And the first son says, no way. Or in the words of Ian last week, you got legs, old man. Huh? Talk about lipping off. but later repents and goes. He shamed his father. He's dishonored him publicly. And then there's the second one who says, Dad, you know you can count on me. I'm always here for you. Yes. Gives the lip service, but there's no follow through. He doesn't go. And Jesus asks the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the audience, so which one did the will of his father? And of course, the answer is neither. They both humiliated, shamed, and dishonored their father. What the father needs is another son, a son who says yes and does yes. The only begotten Son of God, who sets his face toward Jerusalem, and on a Good Friday afternoon is crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. All of these parables, including the one for tonight, they're all in Holy Week. They're all between Palm Sunday, Hosanna, and Good Friday, crucify him. Jesus goes in and he cleanses the temple. My Father's house is a house of prayer for all people. And then he curses a fig tree because there's no fruit on it, even though it's not the season, because there's no excuse for ever not bearing fruit. At the end of the parable, Jesus says, truly I tell you, the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. And we say, thank you, Jesus, that it's ahead of us instead of us. And then our gospel for tonight. If you don't understand the crazy love of God, then wrap your head around the parable tonight. This crazy owner has done everything you could possibly do for a vineyard. There's a watchtower, there's a protective fence, it's fertile soil, it's the best vines. You can't get any better than that. And then while he's gone, he says, I need some sharecroppers. I need some people that are going to enjoy and give thanks for this gift. And I'll come at the appointed time and I'll get some of my fruits. I want my fruit. And so harvest time comes and he sends some of his servants. And of course, we know that if you don't pay your rent, you get evicted, right? What kind of a crazy thing do they do? They're thugs. I mean, they start stoning and beating up and killing these servants. The master hears about this. And what do you think? I know what I'd do. I mean, maybe I'll go get my own gun, or I'm going to call the police or call in the military. These guys don't deserve a second chance. They're dangerous. But the owner of the vineyard? I mean, is he crazy or what? He sends more servants out to collect the fruit. And they do the same or worse to them. Okay. I mean, these guys obviously aren't thinking with a full deck. I mean, this is just crazy, right? It's ludicrous. It makes no sense at all. We know what the owner is going to do now. Did you hear what he does? He sends his son. Now, this is just plain crazy. I mean, this has got to be somebody that's a little bit wacky or off, or somebody that understands love in a whole new crazy sort of way. God's love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. They'll respect my son. That's what he says. And they kill him because they figure then they can steal the inheritance and the vineyard will be theirs. What are they thinking? And then Jesus asked the good religious folks, it's time to cast a verdict. You're the jury. What do you think? And the jury will become the defendants on trial, and they'll pronounce their own condemnation. He will come, and he'll take those miserable wretches, and he'll put them to a miserable death, because that's what they deserve. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Unless you're going to live in some kind of a crazy kingdom. And what does Jesus do? He quotes Psalm 118. That was Martin Luther's favorite. Verse 17 was his absolute favorite verse. I will not die, I will live, and I will recount the deeds of the Lord. I will not die, I will live, and I will recount the deeds of the Lord. Psalm 118, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. But Jesus quotes a different verse. Haven't you read? Haven't you read your Bible? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And then the following verse, which Jesus doesn't quote, this is the day that the Lord has, the Hebrew is acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this would be crazy that God could even forgive those who put his son on the cross, that murder him by taking him out of the vineyard and executing him and trying to steal the inheritance and presume that what we have is ours when everything is a gift? Bear fruit that befits repentance. Do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. God can raise up sons and daughters to Abraham from stones. Or better yet, he'll do it through living water. The story is told about a crazy sort of love that took place in 2001 in Tokyo. A young man, 26 years old, from Korea, came to Japan because he wanted to promote reconciliation. If you know the history about Japan and Korea, a lot of bad blood and animosity because of what happened during World War II. This young man who came, his grandfather in World War II was a part of the slave labor force, a Korean made a slave by the Japanese working in a coal mine. So here's the 26-year-old trying to make a difference and trying to create some bridges. 2001. And he's in a subway in Tokyo, and he sees that a drunk Japanese man has fallen off the platform area down on the tracks. He jumps down there trying to rescue the man, but can't get him to safety before they are killed. A Japanese drunk. And this is a Korean boy whose grandfather had been persecuted by the Japanese. Earlier, in January of 1995, the Kobe earthquake, the Japanese only took care of their own. Now, this is crazy that a young man would look at his enemies as friends and would proclaim forgiveness by putting himself into harm's way on a subway track to save a drunk Japanese man. Crazy things happen all the time. What do you think, Jesus says? Well, if you don't bear fruit, God's going to take the vineyard away from you. Because God's crazy about his vineyard, and he's crazy about his fruit. And he's going to get it harvested. And if we refuse to participate in that gift, well, then God would be crazy enough to go and find someone else to take our place. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And on and on and on and on it goes. God's crazy about you. Crazy enough to once again tonight, in bread and wine, to give you the real presence of his only begotten Son, Jesus, the one that we put on the cross. And crazy enough to say, I forgive you all your sins. So where's my fruit?